There is a secret to mastery most people will never know. There is a secret to mastery most people will never crack. Most people will never see. Because it is in plain sight and yet invisible. The movie Karate Kid gives away. And still no one gets it. There is a turning point in the movie Karate Kid 1984. The original movie. When after Daniel dutifully finishes the floor, the cars, the fence, he confronts Mr. Miyagi. And he finds out that he had been practicing elements of self-defense in karate. Blocking an opponent's moves. This shift in consciousness, this shift in context, activates a journey to mastery for him. To attain mastery, you need to break up the activity you want to master to tiny pieces. Get excellent at every piece, and then combine the pieces together and get excellent at the whole. One of the habit books says that if you improved 1% every day for a year, at the end of the year you'd be 3.7 times improved. Improve what? He doesn't say. But judging from the people I know who have read it, didn't realize that you can only get better in the little chunks of what you do. And for that you need to have practiced the little chunks by themselves, not do business as usual, and hope it will improve you or your performance. And this is the approach that is mastery at its intention. Humanity as a whole is at 1% of its potential, in every area of life. Obviously mastery hasn't been humanity's intention. So what do you think is at the root of humanity's reluctance to even consider getting better? Whoever slash whatever picked the apes to climb higher on the evolutionary ladder made a strategic mistake. There is a Hungarian saying that you cannot get bacon from a dog. Apes and therefore humans are arrogant. No humility. And mastery requires humility. Mastery requires looking at what is, and saying, I can make it better. Instead humans say, don't tell me what to do. This starts at the terrible twos, and never stops. What is the underlying reason humans don't see that they are not all God has intended them to be? Because I can say arrogance a million times, but it won't make a difference. Just like with everything, arrogance needs to be picked apart to components and see which is the faulty part. And replace it with something that would allow a human to be humble. Humility is not what you think it is. Not a feeling. Nor even an attitude. It is and it isn't. Humility is a side issue. If you don't see that you need something, you won't want it. Or if you see that you are the best, then you won't do anything to get better. If you see that you already know it, you won't be curious. If you see that your whole being is in danger, then you'll focus all your powers on protecting yourself, damn everyone else. So you see, humility is a side issue. Seeing inaccurately issue. The place where you could see things accurately is in reality. But humans don't get anything directly from reality. They get everything interpreted for them by the mind. And the mind is like a translator who distorts everything to please something or someone. The mind is a liar. A traitor. A criminal. In some recent articles I talked about the backdrop. The backdrop is a modeling of the mind. This model is putting it in an easier to grasp, easier to see way. The backdrop is two-dimensional, and you can see the words, the sentences on it, whereas in Plato's interpretation, where the mind is a cave, or my earlier interpretation that the mind is a storage hard drive, it is harder to see what you can do with it or about it. The goal is to not allow the mind to keep you from becoming all you can become. To try new things and succeed. To achieve and enjoy life. If you want to become masterful at living, living a life you love and you live it powerfully, your first step is to learn to look for what to do, how to feel, where to go outside of the mind. The backdrop model makes it easier to know how it's done. But like everything in life, it is not a single action. It has parts. And unless you get good and conscious about all the parts, you'll never do it well. But when someone asks you to practice a part, just that one part, you resist. I observe this resistance every day in my hero program. In the hero program, people pick a project to practice on. Practice getting better, practice everything we learn. To what end? So they can live a life they love and live it powerfully. Beautiful purpose. Attainable only through rigorous training of the parts it takes. I have been training, not quite consciously, not the way training should be, not like Daniel's in the Karate Kid. So I never got to mastery in any one area. I live at 30% of my potential. Had I practiced parts, like wax on slash wax off in every area, I could be at 70% of my potential. But I didn't. And even when I had a chance, I didn't see that that is what would work best. As always, a dream clued me in this morning. I dreamed it all night, but I didn't know what I was looking at. Then I woke up and asked Source if that dream was a teaching. The answer was yes. So I went back to dream it now consciously. And the next time I opened my eyes, I saw mastery was the missing issue. In the dream, it was all hit and miss, no rhyme, no reason, no results. Like life. You don't know what to do and then you just do something. Or you know what to do, and you do it, but it was the wrong thing, or do it weakly. Life of the unseeing. The blind, the unaware, the untrained, the not clear. The not astute. And of course of the arrogant. The more arrogant you are, the more you think you know, that you already have it. The less willing I am to keep you in my programs. There are about 20 people who used to be in every program I lead but are no longer. They were all removed for that reason. They brought to the classes, I already know, or I am perfect, don't tell me otherwise. Arrogance. So let's look at where this arrogance comes from, shall we? As I have said above, everything is hard-coded onto the backdrop. What is everything? Whatever your parents told you about you. You are the best. Or the worst. It is all there. Then whatever you said about what your parents told you about you. It is all there too. Whatever you thought your parents thought about you. Or for that matter, anyone, not just your parents. And what you answer to that too. And then all the happy horse shit you heard, read, thought, misunderstood, misinterpreted. So we could say that your backdrop is housing all the knowledge you have about yourself, about life, about the world. It also has all your own opinions about yourself and about your performance in life. If it were written out on typewriter paper, it would be a thick book. Your mind, the backdrop, is all about you. It says good stuff, favorable stuff, and unfavorable stuff. Your base personality, maybe your soul correction, didn't allow anything anyone said, including yourself, to just stand there. You had to say something in response, in your head mainly. And in the manner you responded. My response to most of the things my parents threw at me was hell no. No effing way. I am not that and I will show it to you. Screaming that in my head. That is one way to respond. Another way to respond is the way of E or the donkey, oh, I guess you are right. I can't do anything right. And a third possible way is to say you are wrong, I am perfect. I am beautiful. And I am smart. I don't need you and your opinion. You probably didn't stick to one way. You mixed it up. And all that melange results in your level of arrogance. In your level of self-awareness. In your level of astuteness. And obviously it is all documented on the backdrop. My way of responding results in the lowest level of arrogance. Why? Because my response is I'll show you who I am. Much better than you say. That is an oath to become all I can become. That oath activates the intention energy. The Eeyore way is very restrictive. Because the actual self and the imaginary self are too far, nearly unbridgeable without creating a step-by-step pathway. The third way is hardly ever correctable. Because the person has a vested interest, a self-concern to not allow themselves to be seen as less than what they fancy they are. And, of course, you have this mixed. So you are not one way or the other. Although one mode is predominant. There has been one area, maybe two, maybe three as I am looking, where what my mother said about me stuck. I didn't say anything. I did an Eeyore. Money and tidiness are number two and three. I am not willing to talk about number one in this article. Anyway. My challenge as a teacher, a trainer, is akin herding cats. Everyone wants to do things their way, the way their backdrop says they should. But the Anna Karenina principle, that says that every happy family is similar, while every unhappy family is unhappy their own way. Translated to becoming all you can become, you can see that unless you do it the happy family's way the way that it works, you'll be one of the unhappy families. Do what? Everything. On Tuesday I taught my students to use their most human energy, intention. It is not difficult, by the way. Because it is innate. It is there for a reason. And how many people use unconsciously? 1,000? On a planet of 8 billion? 2,000? Practicing that will be crucial if you ever want to become more than what your backdrop allows you to become. It is the power that is underneath the self in self-determination, self-expression, self-esteem, self-governance, self-growth, etc. Without that there is no self. Without that all the source energies may touch you but won't change you. It is a way for you to give consent. That you are not just saying, do me, but you are a willing participant. Every energy I sold you, by the way. All those energies need your consent. It is true for other energies as well. For example, the Bach flower remedies don't really work without it. Reiki, ditto. Unless you are a willing participant, everything violates your right to free will. So if it works at all, It works only a little bit. Like a placebo. It is true in coaching. Unless you are a willing participant by engaging intention, you are a domi person, reserving your right to remain untouched by the coaching. Today I got an email from a person who used to be in every course and workshop I gave. She wants to commission me to do an audio for her to activate her side capacity. I could do that. But would it work? Not until she gets humble enough to learn to activate her intention. And then and only then would the activator work and turn on the capacity. And then she would need to commit to looking. And without the intention to see, the capacity will turn off. It needs your intention to see to stay on. So you see, if there is a linchpin action, this is it. If you have been stuck where you've been all your life, this is the missing piece. And if you've been a long-term client, I apologize. Because activating intention comes as natural to me as breathing, I didn't realize that 99.99% of people don't use it. So I didn't think of teaching it. One of my students currently in the Prison Break workshop learned to use it through the Wim Hof method. Wim Hof, also known as the Iceman, is a Dutch motivational speaker and extreme athlete noted for his ability to withstand freezing temperatures. He has set Guinness World Records for swimming under ice and prolonged full body contact with ice, and previously held the record for a barefoot half marathon on ice and snow. He attributes these feats to his Wim Hof method, a combination of frequent cold exposure, breathing techniques, yoga and meditation. Hof has been the subject of several medical assessments and a book written by investigative journalist Scott Carney. Does Wim Hof know that the foundation of his method is intention? Muscle test says no. But my student who has been practicing his method for a while took to intention like fish to water. Because he already had the foundation. The internet, Google search, uses the terminology setting your intention, which indicates to me that they don't know it's an energy, even if and when they manage to turn their life around with it. Here is a site that gets close to what intention is. If you need to read a lot to feel comfortable that what I teach has the value I say it has, click here to read some of the 42 million takes on the topic. Then come back and sign up to my live class. You'll leave with a proven ability to not only to set your intention, but to turn on the God energy of intention. You see, setting intention requires you to know what you intend. And most of you don't know, or are hesitant, or cowardly. What if I intend something that I'll regret? Right? But the energy is not specific. Its first and foremost intention is to turn you into the God-like person your DNA meant you to be. It's like a knife. You can use it to chop, to defend yourself, to kill someone. Most of those articles on the internet reflect the low level of consciousness out there. They suggest to use intention to manifest stuff. It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. No such thing as manifesting anything. Only action, only work creates anything. So if you are into manifestation, intention won't help you to manifest. I can't help you. No one can help you. Only action will. Anyway, below is the button to click. It will take you to my shopping cart where you can buy the workshop. To be scheduled depending on the location of the people who apply. Please don't forget that in the USA we start daylight saving time on March 13th, while in Europe they start 2 weeks later. So the time gap between the two continents will be bigger for 2 weeks. Ireland will be 6 hours behind, Eastern Europe 8 hours behind. When you buy, you'll find the hour-long recording of the Prison Break session where I first taught students to activate intention. Foul language. If you are a milquetoast, skip it. I am not being pretty in that recording. But if you are stronger than milquetoast, you'll learn it, and then get the opportunity to test it in the live session. Learn to use your intention. P.S. If you have an illness and want to use some of my tools to beat it, it is mandatory that you learn to use your intention. It can, by itself, tell your brain to start working on the problem. This is what is underneath some healing miracles. Unidentified as activating the brain's healing power by the intention. And the healing energies I sell. They work 100 times stronger when you manage to intend to receive, when you manage to allow them to work. Give your permission. When I work directly on you because you paid me, you gave me permission. This is the main reason the energies work so much stronger when I transmit them directly to you. Not because they lost effectiveness through being recorded. The recording is a perfect copy of the energy. But your permission is missing. Your overt permission through activating intention.